Shibhakti Vedanta Ki. Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Giriraj, Maharaj Ki. Janitai Gopremanande.
Thank you all for coming early. So tonight we shall finish chapter 10, very good, of the seventh canto. We'll hear Prahlad Maharaj's pastime is finished. So now we'll hear a little bit about a very short pastime with Lord Shiva and Maya Dhamma. This is a very small pastime. It takes us to the end of the chapter, which is very interesting. Next Monday night, we'll have the closed book exam beginning at 7 o'clock. Please come. And if anyone would like to hand in any open book topics, that would be appreciated also. Please try and get them in before Kali Yuga finishes. Oh, it's hilarious, isn't it? Like that. And next Tuesday night we'll begin the 11th chapter, which is the Varnashram teachings of Narad Muni to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Okay, so we'll start with text 48 and we'll go to the end of chapter 10. We're in chapter 10, yeah. Yeah, you have to get the next volume.
Okay.
Next volume. Yeah, the chapter finishes. That volume finishes at text 47, but text 48 continues. Is everyone listening? Everyone's concentrating? So chapter 10, Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees. Narad Muni continued, "My dear Yudhishthira, all of you, the Pandavas, are extremely fortunate, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, lives in your palace just like a human being. Great saintly persons know this very well, and therefore they constantly visit this house." Jagannath Ramprabhu, can you please read them?
After hearing about the activities of Prahlad Maharaj, a pure devotee should be very anxious to follow in his footsteps. But such a devotee might be disappointed thinking that not every devotee can come to the standard of Prahlad Maharaj. This is the nature of a pure devotee. He always thinks himself to be the lowest, to be incompetent and unqualified. Thus, after hearing the narration of Prahlad Maharaj's activities, Maharaj Yudhishthira, who was on the same standard of devotional service as Prahlad, might have been thinking of his own humble position. Narad Muni, however, could understand Maharaj Yudhishthira's mind, and therefore he immediately encouraged him by saying that the Pandavas were not less fortunate. They were as good as Prahlad Maharaj, because although Lord Narasimha appeared for Prahlad, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form as Krishna was always living with the Pandavas. Although the Pandavas, because of the influence of Krishna's Yogamaya, could not think of their fortunate position, every saintly person, including the great sage Narada, could understand it, and therefore they constantly visited Maharaj Yudhishthira. Any pure devotee who is constantly conscious of Krishna is naturally very fortunate. The word drana loke, meaning within the material world, indicates that before the Pandavas, there had been many devotees such as the descendants of the Yadu dynasty and Vasishtha, Marichi, Kashyapa, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, who were all extremely fortunate. The Pandavas, however, were better than all of them because Krishna himself lived with them constantly. Narad Muni therefore specifically mentioned that within this material world, Indraloke, the Pandavas were the most fortunate.
What are the points?
Such an exchange happens I think in the first canto also. That is so good for me writing some pastime and then he may see that Parikshit Narad, but you Pandavas are also very fortunate because Krishna used to be digest and roaming around in the world. And then also Prabhupada explained that, you know, Parikshit Narad might be feeling a little responsible in the heart after hearing a few qualities where they would think of them to give some assurance of Parikshit Narad that your family is also very much love with him.
Yeah, I think that's true. Any other points?
We should be motivated and encouraged to come to the level of standard of exalted devotees, even if we feel we might not achieve that.
Prabhupada also said, don't try to be a great devotee, just try to be a good devotee. Then maybe you'll become a great devotee. Any other points? What is it?
Good to have personal relationship.
Anything else?
The goal of devotional life is just to, as Prabhupada said, to have a constant awareness of Krishna, to give all the signs and go for everything in advancement. In order to have a constant awareness of Krishna, we have a lot of Prabhupada's explaining that just make it more easy in our path of practice by following the steps of the devotees like Prabhupada Maharaj.
Any other points?
Whether Krishna is personally present to Bhuti or whether a devotee is constantly conscious of Krishna, both are fortunate.
Anything else?
Aramuni has this amazing quality of not forgetting to see the good qualities of devotees who are around him.
Anything else?
Also, the eminent consciousness is because when we see the devotees around us, they are in their advantage, like Vishnu Maharaj is coming. So, when the Ramba Maharaj is that maybe envy develops them, when they are in their advantage, they are in their advantage. And instead of trying to follow them, just try to, you know, our devotees should be associated with the devotees. So,
that's the consciousness
which normally
comes up when we see the world. What's the sort of consciousness?
What?
I didn't follow.
What was
her
comment?
What was her comment?
She's sitting next to you, you can ask her. So, when you get to Bhava Bhakti, Rupa Goswami mentions in the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are 9 qualities of Bhava Bhakti. One of them is the devotee has great hope. In other words, the devotee always thinks that it is possible for us to become perfect by Krishna's mercy. But simultaneously, the devotee thinks, I am the most fallen. But because we are fallen, sometimes we become despondent or we lose enthusiasm. Because we think, how is it possible for me to become perfect in Krishna consciousness? Because I have so many disqualifications. So there's like a dichotomy or a duality which is present. In bhakti, a devotee feels, I am so fallen that Krishna's mercy is unlimited. So even though I am fallen, right, Krishna's mercy can deliver me even though I am the most fallen. And you'll see in the prayers of Narottama Das Thakur when he prays to Lord Chaitanya, he says that because I am the most fallen person, my claim is first. You should deliver me before you deliver everyone else because I am the most unqualified person. And your mercy extends to the most fallen personalities. So that is the mood of the devotee. Simultaneously he thinks that I am unqualified, but at the same time we don't lose enthusiasm because we think that Krishna will deliver us by his mercy. He is the most merciful personality. And then Prabhupada points out that of all the living entities in the universe, we are the most fortunate. Why are we the most fortunate devotees? Because any devotee who has an opportunity to perform devotional service is the most fortunate person. Srila Prabhupada said in 1977, just before he left this world, he said the most fortunate living entities in the universe are the pujaris of Krishna and Balaram. Because they're directly serving the Lord, and all the services they do are exactly the same as the services which are rendered in the spiritual world. So a devotee feels like that. We feel we are the most fortunate people because we get the most exalted and wonderful opportunities to do direct service to the deities. And just like the devotees are making the garlands. This activity is a nitya seva. Nitya seva means these are eternal activities which are going on in the spiritual world. Right now in the spiritual world, devotees are making garlands for Krishna. And we are also making garlands for Krishna here in the material world. So what is the difference? Actually, there is no difference. It is the same as directly serving Krishna in the spiritual world, if our consciousness is like that. So we are the most fortunate people in the universe because we get the opportunity to render intimate services to the deities. Now, in order to understand what is taking place in this part of the Bhagavatam, we're seeing that Narada is glorifying Prahlad Maharaj, but then he says that Maharaj Yudhisthira is even more fortunate. So how do we understand this? This is the science of rasa. This is the science of Krishna consciousness, of advancement in Krishna consciousness. Now, to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam properly, one must study the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita. So in the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, it is the natural synopsis or commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. After Parikshit Maharaj heard the Bhagavatam, after 7 days of hearing the Bhagavatam, he was approached by his mother Uttara. And Uttara asked him, "Can you please explain to me what you have heard?" And he felt, "I don't have time to speak to you the entire Bhagavatam." So he summarized those teachings in the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita. So the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita is the essence of the Bhagavatam, and it explains the level of devotion of different devotees. How one is more advanced, and then one is even more advanced, and one becomes even more intimate to Krishna. So this is the science of rasa. So we hear in the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita that first Narada, he is looking for the most advanced devotee. So he approaches one Brahmana. But then the Brahmana says, "No, there's a king in South India who is more advanced than me." So he approaches the king. And the king says, "No, there's a king of heaven, Indra, who is more advanced than me." So he approaches Indra. Indra says, "No, actually Brahma is greater." So when he approaches Brahma, he says that Shiva is greater. Shiva says Prahlad is greater. Prahlad says Hanuman is greater. Hanuman says the Pandavas are greater. The Pandavas say Uddhava is greater. Right? And then Uddhava says, "No, the Brijbasis are the greatest." And finally we arrive that the greatest of all the devotees is Srimati Radharani. So in the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, we find out that the Pandavas are more intimate than Prahlad Maharaj. Why? Because Nrisingadeva did not stay with Prahlad for a long time. So there was not a great deal of intimacy between Nrisingadeva and Prahlad. Whereas with Yudhisthira and the Pandavas, there was a great deal of intimacy between them. Right? Between the Pandavas and Krishna, the relationship was very intimate. But then the relationship between Uddhava and the Dwarkabasis was even more intimate than the Pandavas. But far greater than all of them was the love which was exchanged between Krishna and the Brijabasis. So we hear in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita how different devotees are more advanced and more exalted and more dear to Krishna according to their level of advancement. So that is what Narada is saying here. He's saying to Yudhisthira, you are very intimate with Krishna. Any points?
And then one of the devotees asked the question at the end that, you know, Bharat Maharaj was an exalted devotee to fall down. Then what is the hope of Bharat? Because he keeps thinking of holding material things and, you know, analyze the clutter still with holding things. We are not adding to the culture of Bharat Maharaj. And that time Radha Gopinath is a good friendship.
Any other points? The impersonal Brahman is Krishna himself, because Krishna is the source of the impersonal Brahman. He is the origin of the transcendental bliss sought by great saintly persons, yet he, the Supreme Person, is your most dear friend and constant well-wisher, and is intimately related to you as the son of your maternal uncle. Indeed, he is always like your body and soul. He is worshipable, yet he acts as your servant and sometimes as your spiritual master. So we'll read the purport. This is a nice purport there. So, Sri Ram Prabhu, would you like to read the?
There is always a difference of opinion about the absolute truth. One class of transcendentalists conclude that the absolute truth is imposter, and another class concludes that the absolute truth is a person. In Bhagavad Gita, the absolute truth is accepted as supreme person. Indeed, that supreme person himself, Lord Krishna, instructs in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmano hi pratishtham mata parataram nyaya. The impersonal Brahman is my partial manifestation, and there is no truth superior or to me. That same Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, acted as the supreme friend and relative of Pandavas, and sometimes he even acted as their servant by carrying a letter from the Pandavas to Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. Because Krishna was the well-wisher of the Pandavas, he also acted as Guru by becoming the spiritual master of Arjuna. Arjuna accepted Krishna as his spiritual master, and Krishna sometimes chastised him. For example, the Lord said, Asochyan Arvashochastham Pajya Vadamsa Vasase. While speaking the learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of me. The Lord also said, Kutastham Kasmalam Yidam Jishma. My dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? Such was the intimate relationship between the Pandavas and Krishna. In the same way, a pure devotee of the Lord is always with Krishna through the thick and thin. His way of life is Krishna. This is the statement of authority, Sri Narayana.
So what are the points here? Why does he do that? Why does he like to do that? Any other points? So, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that we learn the science of Krishna consciousness through the Bhagavad Purana. And the Bhagavad Purana means the Srimad Bhagavatam, which explains to us the science of relationships with God. Right? Out of all of the Vedic literatures, the Srimad Bhagavatam describes most intimately the different types of relationships one can have with God, with Krishna. So this is how we can understand the nature of relationships or bhava. Bhava means different types of emotions or feelings that the devotee can have towards Krishna. So this is explained in the Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada explains within the purport that Krishna is ultimately conquered by love. That is the purport of the Bhagavatam. Sri Krishna Kashani. Sri Krishna Kashani means that Krishna is conquered by the love of his devotees. So you'll see throughout the Bhagavatam that when a devotee has prema, bhakti, Krishna becomes subservient to them. So the Pandavas, Krishna became subservient to the Pandavas. He became a messenger. He became a chariot driver. Right? You would only do these things for someone you are very intimate with and very close to, because normally these are jobs of servants. In Vedic culture, people don't do these things themselves. If you're a Kshatriya, you don't deliver a message yourself. Right? A Kshatriya will send a messenger. If you're a Kshatriya, you don't drive a chariot. Right? You have a chariot driver. That's a Shudra activity. So the fact that Krishna would do those activities for the Pandavas means that Krishna was extremely intimate to the Pandavas. They wrote a message to Duryodhana, and then Krishna said, don't send it with a messenger. Go on, just turn the phone off or throw it out the window. Right? I'm trying to give a class here. Right? So just turn it off. Right? Or throw it out the window then. So, the Pandavas, they wrote the message and they wanted to send it to to Duryodhana. And then Krishna said, no, I'll deliver it. Right? So this is an extremely intimate act that he will do it himself. Or, when Arjuna was going to fight on the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna says, I will drive your chariot. Right? So it's extremely intimate. So the Bhagavad Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is teaching us the science of exchange between God and his devotees, Krishna and his devotees, based on bhava or prema or love. So Krishna is conquered by that. So because he is conquered, then you'll see that he will do the most menial services for his devotees, or the most intimate services for his devotees. You'll see that in the Bhagavatam, the first time we see Krishna back in the first canto, in the seventh chapter, is as Parthasarathi, as the chariot driver. In the Bhagavad Gita, he is the chariot driver. So we're seeing him in a very menial position and a very intimate position towards his devotees. This means that he has no false prestige. When you are very attached to someone, you'll do anything for that person. So Krishna will do anything for the Pandavas. He'll do anything for Arjuna and Yudhishthira. So, Prabhupada explains in this purport and also in the next purport that the devotees in Krishna, they will go through thick and thin for each other. Prabhupada uses this saying in both purports, thick and thin. That means you'll go through everything. When you are attached to someone, you'll go through anything and everything with that person. So you'll see that Krishna, he's always testing the devotees, especially in the material world. He puts them through the most difficult circumstances, right? To show what is love. And this is explained in the Madhurya Kanambini. In the Madhurya Kanambini, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur asks the question, why is it that the devotees suffer? Why do we see devotees suffering? And if you look at all the devotees, practically who suffered the most, it was the Pandavas. Right? They went through the most difficult circumstances. more difficult than anything we'll ever go through. The problems we go through in our life aren't so difficult compared to what the Pandavas had to go through. You know, having to go to live in a forest. You know, when was the last time you had to go and live in a forest? When was the last time you lost your house? They lost the kingdom. They didn't just lose the house. They lost the kingdom. Imagine if you lost your house. Imagine if you were bankrupt tomorrow. What would you do? You come to the Bhaktivedanta class with tears in your eyes. And you'd be very disturbed, very distraught. The Pandavas had to go through this. They had to fight with their own family members. Right? Imagine if you had to go into battle with your grandparents and your uncles. They had to go onto the battlefield. Arjuna had to kill Bhishma. So the most difficult things were asked to be done by the Pandavas. So why does Krishna put them through so much difficulty? To show us that we should stick with Krishna through thick and through thin. In other words, we should stay devoted to Krishna and keep doing our service to Krishna even when we go through the most difficult circumstances in our life. We don't give up our service. That's the point. So Krishna wants to see this. Are you serious about this relationship? Even in the material world, right, we want to see, are people serious about the relationship? The husband wants to see, is the wife serious about the relationship? The wife wants to see, is the husband serious about this relationship? Right? And Krishna is watching us. He wants to say, are you actually serious about this relationship? Are you committed to me? And when you say to Krishna, yes, I am committed, then he says, okay, let's see. And then he begins to test you. To see that you'll keep doing your service without cessation through the most difficult circumstances. And if we do find ourselves going through difficulty, we should meditate on the examples of the Pandavas. Because everything that we go through is insignificant compared to what they went through. Right? And they stayed attached to Krishna and devoted to Krishna under all circumstances. So any points?
Who asked this question?
Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. It was just like a rhetorical question. He was just asking it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's in the Madhurya Kadambini. He asked that question. So. Exalted persons like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma could not properly describe the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. May the Lord, who was always worshipped as the protector of all devotees by great saints, who observe vows of silence, meditation, devotional service and renunciation, be pleased with us. So we'll read the purport. Chaitanya Prabhu, can you read that?
The absolute truth is sought by different persons in different ways, yet he remains inconceivable. Nonetheless, devotees like Pandavas, the gopis, the cowherd boys, Mother Yashoda Maharaj, and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan do not need to practice conventional processes of meditation to attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for he remains with them through thick and thin. Therefore, a saint like Narada, understanding the difference between transcendentalists and pure devotees, always prays that the Lord will be pleased with him.
So, what are the points?
Pure devotees do not have to go through the yoga ladder of karma, jnana, and ashtanga to achieve pure bhakti. That we see in the example of Yadnas, Yamanas, and their wives. In Brahmins, we are doing all this yajna, but their wives who are not learning at pure bhakti.
Anything else?
Actually, I was thinking Mother Yashoda suffered a lot too. And you know, we say, Mother, we say that he's not your son. And it's really heartbreaking.
Any other points? So, a devotee always prays to the higher devotees for mercy. So Narada understands that he is inferior in one sense to the Pandavas in terms of their devotion. The Pandavas have a higher level of intimacy with Krishna. Narada, he worships the Lord in awe and reverence. That is his constitutional position. He is a devotee of Narayana. Whereas the Pandavas, they associate with Krishna as Dwarkadish. So they have a more intimate relationship. So effectively, Narada is asking here for the Pandavas' mercy. And that is the nature of a devotee. A devotee thinks, when he meets a devotee who is more advanced than him, he thinks, I have to associate with that devotee and get that devotee's mercy, so that I can also develop a higher level of realization or a higher level of devotion. Not that the devotee wants to change his rasa with Krishna, but he just wants the same level of intensity that the other devotee has. Just like when Uddhava went to Vrindavan, it's not that Uddhava wanted to become like a gopi or a brijvasi, but he wanted the same level of attachment that they had towards Krishna. So that's why he was sent to Vrindavan by Krishna, so that he could see the advanced devotees. And he prayed, I also want to be like them. They are so attached to Krishna. So therefore Uddhava prayed that he wanted to become a kundalata. A kundalata means a creeper. Next to the kund. There's one kund at Govardhan Hill called Uddhava Kund, where Uddhava eternally resides as a creeper or some grass on the ground. And he prays that every day the residents of Vrindavan, the Brijbasis, the gopis, they will walk over his head. They will, and the dust of their feet will go on him. And he will also get the intensity of devotion that they have towards Krishna. So he doesn't think that I want to become a gopi. He just thinks I want that type of devotion. So we should always also think like that. When we meet a more advanced devotee, we think I will associate with them, I will serve them, and I will try to also get the type of devotion they have. The same level of intensity and devotional service towards Krishna. Any points? My dear King Yudhishthira, long, long ago in history, a demon called Mayadhanava, who was very expert in technical knowledge, reduced the reputation of Lord Shiva. In that situation, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, saved Lord Shiva. So, if we study the... Oh, actually, there's a purport. Sorry. So we'll read the purport. What are the bundle purports?
Lord Shiva is known as Mahadeva, the most exalted demigod. That Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura says that although Lord Brahma did not know the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shiva would have known them. This historical incident shows that Lord Shiva derives power from Lord Krishna, the Parabrahma.
Any points? Even Krishna does not know himself. So, if we study the Srimad Bhagavatam, we learn about Vishnu Tattva, Jiva Tattva, Shakti Tattva. There are so many different types of tattvas, or truths. And one of the tattvas we learn about comprehensively and properly in the Bhagavatam is Shiva Tattva. Because many people in India who call themselves Hindus, they don't understand Shiva Tattva. They think Shiva is Vishnu. people think that Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu are all equal. Mm-hmm. That's a misconception. The whole of India is confused at this point in time. Just like when you have Rath Yatra in Puri, Dave Narita Swami was telling us that they televised the Rath Yatra on the Orion television station, but then the commentators who are commenting on the Rath Yatra, why it's being telecast live, they say something like, Jagannath represents Vishnu Tattva, and Subhadra represents Shakti Tattva, and Balaram represents Shiva Tattva. So they don't understand. People don't understand these days. Everyone's very confused. So Prabhupada was very insistent that we clarify things for everyone based on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear about the correct understanding or the correct tattva. Lord Shiva is spoken of in his correct position. So what is Lord Shiva's correct position? Yeah, you can say it like that. That he is a said, or one way that we see him described in the Bhagavatam is Vaishnavanam Yatasham. So he's a devotee. So we understand him like that. He doesn't see himself as a god, but he is a servant of God. And we understand from the earlier parts of the Bhagavatam that he is a transformation of Vishnu. And Brahma Samhita is a natural commentary on the Bhagavatam. That's why the Brahma Samhita was rediscovered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Krishna himself, when traveling to South India, when he went to the Adi Keshava temple in South India, he rediscovered the Brahma Samhita, and then he brought it back. He made a copy and he brought it back to Jagannath Puri for it to be distributed to all the devotees. That's how we have the Brahma Samhita now, because Lord Chaitanya rediscovered it. So the Brahma Samhita, it is explained, it is a natural commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam is in the Brahma Samhita. And in the Brahma Samhita, it describes Shiva's position, that he is a transformation of Vishnu. But he is not Vishnu any longer. He's his own tattva. So Rupa Goswami describes this properly in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and the Nectar of Devotion, that he has 55 of the 64 qualities of God. So he's not God in his full potency, but he is his own tattva. He's almost God, but he's not quite God. So he has his own category like that. So here in the Bhagavatam, we're hearing about Shiva's position. Now, what is Shiva's position? He is extremely dear to Krishna. So if you read the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, once again, we hear that when Narada goes to Brahma, Brahma says, go to Shiva. And when he goes to Shiva, Brahma has told Narada, that when I committed an offense to Krishna, he did not forgive me so easily. I stole the cowherd boys. I committed a great offense, but he was not so easily forgiving of me. But when Lord Shiva makes a mistake, then he protects him. Just like when Lord Shiva gives benedictions to the demons, then Krishna himself comes as a small boy and protects Lord Shiva, confuses the demon and kills the demon to protect Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is more dear to Krishna than Lord Brahma. So by reading the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, by studying it, we understand properly Shiva's position. He is Mahadev, he is very dear to Lord Krishna. And he's extremely powerful. He's the greatest of all the demigods. He's not a demigod, he's much more powerful than the demigods. Any points?
I think somewhere that Lord Shiva, and because he's the expansion of the position, so he was the Vishnu that over himself just the inferior position to serve the position.
What is it?
That he was Vishnu that but he himself took the inferior position to serve God Krishna.
Yeah, in his original form, he is a form of Narayan in Vaikuntha,
yeah.
Sadashiva. And then when he comes to this world, then he becomes tamasi, he becomes touched by the material energy. So then he becomes a little transformed. So I don't know, maybe it's, I haven't heard it described like that, but maybe it's like that.
Okay.
It could be. Anything else?
The comment you made about the Jews and the instrument cards, they always hold them with the cards between them and the instrument cards. Has a man working card for that. So if you bring in Krishna walking there, for the reason, they just think he must fall out. Maybe something a lot more visually powerful. Something was. You know the ministers who come in public, they show the power of the and they seem to be a child. But most of the time they just give it all to the student here. As to you see how the gods would make me.
Yeah, I mean there's a lot of preaching to do in India. The Western people are affected by karma, sense gratification. And the Indian people, they're affected by karma as well, but they're affected by jnana. They're confused. They don't have the proper siddhanta, or the proper understanding of the truth. ISKCON is becoming very powerful now in India. They're having a lot of effect, a lot of interest. More and more temples are opening. Thousands and thousands of devotees are being made in India now. Prabhupada be extremely pleased. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked Prabhupada to go to the West, but Prabhupada's personal desire was to deliver the people in India. Like that. So he went to the West, but then you see from 1970 onwards, he spent about 9 months a year in India. Like that. He'd go for a world tour, but then he'd come back and spend most of the time in India.
Right.
And it took Prabhupada a long time to get the preaching happening in India. But now it's just flourishing. Any other points?
If I remember correctly, in Brihad Bhagavatam, he said, and Lord Brahma advised somebody, if you want to see the actual position of Lord Shiva, then don't go to Kailas, you should go to Pati, and then he saw Lord Shiva in real form.
I haven't heard of it. But
yeah,
I didn't. Brihad Bhagavatam, right?
Sadashiva
Loka.
And then you can see the original.
Anything else? Maharaj Yudhisthira said, for what reason did the demon Maya Danava vanquish Lord Shiva's reputation? How did Lord Krishna save Lord Shiva and expand his reputation again? Kindly describe these incidents. Narad Muni said, when the demigods, who are always powerful by the mercy of Lord Krishna, fought with the Asuras were defeated, and therefore they took shelter of Maya Danava, the greatest of the demons. Maya Danava, the great leader of the demons, prepared three invisible residences and gave them to the demons. These dwellings resembled airplanes made of gold, silver, and iron, and they contained uncommon paraphernalia. My dear King Yudhisthira, because of these three dwellings, the commanders of the demons remained invisible to the demigods. Taking advantage of this opportunity, the demons, remembering their former enmity, began to vanquish the three worlds. the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Thereafter, the demons had begun to destroy the higher planetary systems. The rulers of those planets went to Lord Shiva, fully surrendered unto him, and said, "My dear Lord, we demigods living in the three worlds are about to be vanquished. We are your followers. Kindly save us." The most powerful and able Lord Shiva reassured them and said, "Do not be afraid." He then fixed his arrows to his bow and released them toward the three resonances occupied by the demons. The arrows released by Lord Shiva appear like fiery beams of beams emanating from the sun globe and covered the three residential airplanes, which could then no longer be seen. Attacked by Lord Shiva's golden arrows, all the demoniac inhabitants of those three dwellings lost their lives and fell down. Then the great mystic Mayadhanava dropped the demons into a nectarian well that he had created. Leela Mai, would you like to read them?
The Asuras are generally extremely powerful because of their mystic yogic power. However, as Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 6.47, Yoginam Abhisarvesham Mat Kater Antaratmana Saddhavan Vajate Yoma Same Yuktatma Mato Mata. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. The actual purpose of mystic yoga is to concentrate one's attention fully on the personality of Godhead Krishna and always think of him. But Gatir Antaratmana. To attain such perfection, one must undergo a certain process, Hatha Yoga, and through this yoga system, the practitioner achieves some uncommon mystic power. The Asuras, however, instead of becoming devotees of Krishna, utilize this mystic power for their personal sense gratification. Mayadhanava, for example, is mentioned here as Mahayogi, a great mystic, but his business was to help the Asuras. Nowadays, we are actually seeing that there are some yogis who cater to the sense of the materials, and these are imposters who advertise themselves as God. Mayadhanava was such a person, a god among the demons, and he could perform some wonderful feats, one of which is described here. He made a well filled with nectar and dipped the Asuras into that nectarian well. This nectar was known as Mrita-Sanjeeva-Ita-Tari, for it could bring a dead body to life. Mrita-Sanjeeva-Ita-Tari is also an Ayurvedic preparation. It is a kind of liquor that invigorates even a person on the verge of death.
Any points? Any other points?
The demons produce the nectar.
What?
Nectar.
What about it?
Nectar is produced by Lord, I think.
So the demons had some.
How did it mean?
Not sure. Don't know. I'll ask them next time I see them. Is it okay?
Yeah, it's okay.
A lot of my friends are demons. So.
No, I don't think so.
If I meet them, I'll ask them for
it. I thought nectar came from the sea.
From the milk ocean?
Yeah.
In the next canto, we'll hear about that. The milk ocean.
Yeah.
I still don't know.
Oh, sorry.
You can keep asking me, though, if you like. That's all right. I like your questions. Even if I don't know the answers. Okay. So Prabhupada is explaining that a non-devotee cannot be defeated by... Okay, I'll start again. A devotee cannot be defeated by... a non-devotee. A devotee will always be victorious. Why? Because Krishna is behind the devotee. So a devotee can only appear to be defeated if Krishna allows. But if Krishna does not allow, a devotee can never be defeated. Because Krishna will always see that the devotee is victorious. Krishna, it is said in the last verse of the Bhagavad Gita, wherever there is Krishna, the supreme mystic, wherever there is Arjuna, the great bowman, there will always be morality, extraordinary strength, opulence, and victory. So wherever there is Krishna, there will always be victory. So the devotees will always be victorious. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said, nothing can stop this movement externally. Only internally this movement can be stopped. When we fight amongst each other, then our movement can be stopped. But otherwise, it cannot be stopped. Externally, there is nothing powerful enough to stop the Hare Krishna movement, the Sankirtan movement. So the non-devotees, they will try to stop us, but it's not possible. Because Krishna will intervene when he sees the devotees are being challenged by the non-devotees. Now, Prabhupada also mentions the power of the Ayurvedic medicines. So I'm personally taking Ayurvedic medicine at this point in time. Brahmi, for my brain. It's having some good effect. And then Arjuna, for the heart. I'm feeling it is having good effect. And then, what's the other one thing? That's for winter. I'm taking that. But trifala, cleanses the intestines like that. So I'm actually feeling, because I've been taking them regularly the last 3 months, there's great effect in these. If you can get the pure medicines, not so much the mass-produced ones, but one devotee, he's an Ayurvedic practitioner, Nityananda Prabhu, and he's giving me very pure, organic Ayurvedic medicine like that. And it has very great effect. So Prabhupada's mentioning here that you can take the Ayurvedic medicine and it will cure all your diseases and you will live happily ever after in the material world.
Is there any treatment for arthritis problem?
Yeah, in Ayurveda there is.
Yeah? So who is treating you?
A devotee called Nityananda Prabhu.
Where is he?
He practices in Paran, just about 10 minutes from here. In the temples.
Okay.
But if you need consultation, he can arrange. It's very good. That's very helpful. Any other points? Should be what?
That he should be failing.
Failing, yeah.
Yeah. How do you understand that he's a
If a sannyasi falls down, like Prabhupada Vishnu Prabhu, is that where you speak? Who? Mahanidhi? Oh, really? Today? Really? Okay, I'll have to go and look it up then. Okay. I listen to his lectures. I mean, he's the main person I've been listening to for the last, 3 or 4 years. Mainly I'm listening to him, so. Is it? Giving up sannyas?
Yeah, because.
What does it mean by resign? What's the specific?
We have written in your letter, like the one visiting to come, but we were doing some investigations because we have heard some reports about his personal as well as philosophical life, like teaching rights, and some of the reports are true, and during those investigations, there were many people.
But you mean like sexual fault, or no?
Yeah, and there's some philosophical investigations.
Philosophical, I can understand. That because I listen to his lectures, so I know they've always been concerned about him because I listen to his lectures, so I know what they're concerned about.
Yeah,
but is it something else as well? Okay, that's it. Okay. Okay, that's a shame.
What I actually think, what they're doing is when they are taking disciples, they are giving away all their pious, all their Sukhati devotional service they have done to Krishna, they are having this much of credit. All that credit they are giving off to the disciples. So when the people are getting initiated, they are giving it away, the sannyasis. So what actually the sannyasis are in a very weak position to actually. So they have to be very, very elevated to fix that back on place.
Yeah, maybe.
So there is, yes, so they are giving away their Ajay Guru Maharaj also said that don't anybody don't repeat the mantra because I'm taking all his sins, you know. So that's why they become sick also. Why they become sick?
Yeah, to a degree.
So they, that's why they fall down also. That's the reason why they fall down.
Yeah, to a degree. Okay. Okay, I'll have to go and read. Because that affects my life greatly. I've mainly for the last 4 years or so, I've been mainly listening to Mahadeep's one. So it's a shame. I know why philosophically what that they'd be concerned, because I know the way he preaches like that, it's on a very high level. So I know why they've been concerned for a long time about the way he preaches. But if there's a deviancy in his actual activities, then that's a different thing. On that side. Okay. So what was the point I was making?
She's asking a question.
Okay, start again, because now I have to readjust the whole.
Thank you. You mentioned the point that a devotee usually is not vanquished in his life, but if he does fail, then it is Krishna's plan to him to fail. So how do you understand in the light of all this?
You mean in terms of what Prabhupada's saying in a devotee cannot be defeated?
Yeah.
This is what you mean?
This
is a different thing. See, what Prabhupada's emphasizing here is the devotee cannot be defeated by a non-devotee. That's a different thing. But when a devotee falls down, that's misuse of his independence. It's not Krishna making him do that. He's misused his independence. You know, which reiterates again why Bhaktivinoda Thakur said in Kali Yuga, Grihastha Ashram is a good ashram for Vaishnavas. It's a very good ashram for Vaishnavas. Very difficult in Kali Yuga to be a renunciate. Very difficult. So, and we see it. It is that it's an exalted position. Not something that can easily be done. Right? Very few people. Like Radhanath Swami has hundreds of fixed up brahmacharis. I mean, they're exalted. You know, there's just like dozens of them. But he's not giving sannyas to hardly any of them. He's given to one out of, you know, but you look at it, practically, you know, Radhi, Sham, Gauranga, and then they're practically all like sannyasis. But he's not giving sannyas to practically any of them. Very slowly, very gradually, when they get older, like that. So in Kali Yuga, it's very difficult to do these things. But when a devotee fails, or appears to fail, it's not Krishna doing it, right? It's we are misusing our independence. Krishna always gives us a choice. But when you take that path of renunciation, it's very difficult to do it. And the test becomes bigger because you're making a very strong stance against the material energy or against Maya. So then Maya will really test you at that point. Because you're saying to Maya, I'm rejecting you. So then Maya will, she'll test you very heavily like that. So, I mean, that answers the question. That answers what you're saying. But what Prabhupada's saying, that's a different thing. You know, when a devotee is tested or against a non-devotee, then Krishna will personally intercede. But in terms of our personal lives, it's up to us. Krishna will test us, but he wants to see, are we sincere in our service to him? Like that, so Mahanidhi Swami, he may have to just readjust, like Prabhu Vishnu Prabhu and so many. He just have to readjust, that's all. But I am surprised about that. I am surprised.
Also, when we hear about how do we address the doubts that start arising in our heart about, you know, it's happening to them, why not to another universe, why not to our own universe? How do we address those doubts?
It's okay. I'll ask you a question and then we'll have to read through. I didn't realize the time has slipped away. So basically, in the last 4 or 5 years, you know, several senior devotees have had problems. One particular senior devotee who I had a great deal of faith with, not probably Vishnu Guru, but another one. I won't say the name because I don't know if everyone knows. Many devotees may know who I'm talking about, but they may not, so I'm not going to say in case they don't. But he had difficulty, and he very, you know, and that really affected me a lot. You know, I really had to go away and really think very deeply about it, you know, because it affected me. Because then I really started thinking, you know, can I do this? You know, can I do it? I mean, look, as someone who I exalt, someone I have so much faith in. But then it just gave me realization that this is the nature of the material world. You know, it's very difficult to be very strict in Krishna consciousness in Kali Yuga. It's a very difficult thing to be fixed and steady on the path. So we have to be honest and we have to be humble. It's not that it's impossible, but it is difficult. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's given us the advice to stay in the Grihastha ashram. And even in that ashram, it's difficult. So many difficulties just in that ashram. What to speak of trying to go for a much higher position like that. So it's just something that you have to, you know, you have to contemplate and you have to go within yourself. And you may have to speak to other devotees about it. We can't speak about it more now because we have to finish, but you may have to speak to other devotees about it. But at the end of the day, because this particular devotee, who I have a lot of faith in, he's still practicing. He didn't stop practicing, he just changed his colour of his cloth. That's all. Took off saffron, put on white, but he's doing all the same service he did before. So what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Krishna says... Krishna says that even if they perform the most abominable activity, still they are my devotee. So that's the point. You know, so even though there's a flaw, but still they're a devotee. So we have to see it like that. But it does test us. It does make it difficult. And you see here in Australia, when Bhavananda Prabhu left, the yatra fell apart. It really fell apart. Like, just imploded. It's a very difficult thing. When we see someone who we think is about, and now, because that was a long time ago, but now when it happens, because, you know, these things happen in the last 2 or 3 years, devotees have been devotees for 40 years who are advanced, and they're still running into problems with sex life at the age of 60, right? Then it just shows how careful we have to be and how deep-rooted these problems actually are. And how difficult it is to give up our desire to be separate from Krishna. Because that is the crux of it. Like that. But it's not that it's not possible. It is possible. It's possible for us. It's definitely possible for those above us. And there are genuine devotees. There are genuine devotees. But they haven't attained prema. Prabhupada had prema. Prabhupada was Prabhupada. And I don't think there's anyone else in the movement. And there's some very advanced devotees in our movement. And I hold your Guru Maharaj, I personally think, he's one of the most advanced devotees in ISKCON. Right? But still, I don't think he's on Prabhupada's level. So anything can happen in between here and there. It's only when you get to that level that's it, like that. So we just have to... But still, I think those devotees will be successful. And I think they are successful. I don't think they're duplicit. I think they're sincere. Like that. But it shows also that there's still things going on in the heart. So we just have to be very humble. And it's between them and Krishna, ultimately. Like that. So, like that. But it does. It affects us. Like what you've just said has affected me. Now I have to go away and again rethink. And this is like in the last 4 years of my study. And I'm listening to him right now. I'm right in the middle of, you know... The series I'm listening to goes on and on and on. And I'm not going to stop listening to it because I know the merit of what he's saying. And I know the philosophical part I can understand. I've been concerned about him for years because he speaks about higher things all the time. But for me, it's very nourishing listening to him. And even though he may have had difficulty, but he's still an exalted Vaishnava like that. So you know, and I will continue to listen to it, unless we're told not to, and then that'll really give me a lot of problems. If I can't listen to it, I get a lot of inspiration from him like that. But I know that they've always been concerned about him because he speaks about very high things. I can't answer any more questions now because we have to finish. But if we want to talk next week, maybe on Tuesday, if you need to speak about things more, we can talk about it more like that. They give us a week to digest everything, and then we can. I think so. Okay, I'll just have to finish because. Which verse were we on? 60. When the dead bodies of the demons came in touch with the nectar, their bodies became invincible to thunderbolts. Endowed with great strength, they got up like lightning, penetrating clouds. Seeing Lord Shiva very much aggrieved and disappointed, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, considered how to stop this nuisance created by Maya Dhanava. Then Lord Brahma became a calf and Lord Vishnu a cow, and at noon they entered the resonances and drank all the nectar in the well. The demons could see the calf and cow, but because the illusion created by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demons could not forbid them. The great mystic Maya Dhanava became aware that the calf and cow were drinking the nectar, and he could understand this to be the unseen power of providence. Thus he spoke to the demons, who were grievously lamenting. Maya Dhanava said, "What has been destined by the Supreme Lord for oneself, for others, or for both oneself and others, cannot be undone anywhere or by anyone, whether one be a demigod, a demon, a human being, or anyone else." Narad Muni continued, "Thereafter, Lord Krishna, by his own personal potency, consisting of religion, knowledge, renunciation, opulence, austerity, education, and activities, equipped Lord Shiva with all the necessary paraphernalia, such as a chariot, a charioteer, a flag, horses, elephants, a bow, a shield, and arrows. When Lord Shiva was fully equipped in this way, he sat down on the chariot with his arrows and bow to fight with the demons." "My dear King Yudhishthira, the most powerful Lord Shiva joined the arrows to his bow, and at noon he set fire to all three residences of the demons and thus destroyed them. Seated in their airplanes in the sky, the inhabitants of the higher planetary systems beat many kettle drums. The demigods, saints, pitas, siddhas and various great personalities showered flowers on the head of Lord Shiva, wishing him all victory, and the apsaras began to chant and dance with great pleasure. O King Yudhishthira, thus Lord Shiva is known as Tripurari, the annihilator of the three dwellings of the demons, because he burnt these dwellings to ashes. Being worshipped by the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva returned to his own abode. The Lord, Sri Krishna, appeared as a human being, yet he performed many uncommon and wonderful pastimes by his own potency. How can I say more about his activities than what has already been said by great saintly persons? Everyone can be purified by his activities, simply by hearing about them from the right source." Srila Prabhupada ki jai.